doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
a little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact scenario.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I'd probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk. This is Tech Talk.
I was wondering.
Yeah. A little quiet there. A little quiet on the beginning.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's a little
rock and roll this morning. Good morning, everybody. This is, I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki. Is that right? I'm doing it wrong. That's Michael Tech Talk Castle.
Yeah,
I'm Dave Sparky
right.
Saganaki.
Right.
Whoever.
That's
whatever.
Right.
We're here to dazzle, entertain, and excite everybody
wow.
within earshot.
Wow, I can't wait. Go for it, Dave.
Oh, no, not me.
I want to be dazzled.
Let me explain to everybody. I'm the junior partner, like the much, much junior partner. I'm like stooge. I'm not even a stooge. Would be a glorification of what I actually do.
That's kind of the speech that I gave to my wife before she agreed to marry me. And
what?
Well,
you agreed to be the stooge?
I'm going to dazzle. I'm going to entertain. Boy.
Wow.
How little did she know?
Yeah, big lie, huh?
She bought it, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's got too much commitment. She's still sticking around, so I guess I can't complain too much.
Bless her heart.
But, no, I think it will be a good show. I'm excited,
you
actually.
Think?
I do. I know it's going to be a good show this
yeah.
week because we're not going to do most of the talking. I think what we're going to do is at some point here we'll bring our good friend Jay Garman on and get him in. He's not only going to tell us the
He's
most
back from Dragon Con.
He's back from Dragon Con. I'm excited. I'm thrilled.
Pretty funny. Last week it took us two phone calls to remember that he was at Dragon Con.
He tweeted me, too, and told me. He said, don't forget, I'm at Dragon Con.
There was a tweet involved.
Oh, man.
It's hopeless.
How connected we
it's
are.
It's just hopeless.
Well, it's great, too. Now, the intro music, and I apologize, a little soft there, was actually, I posted. I said, it's going to be great. We're going to have some DC talk on today.
Yeah.
And, DC, D-Star C for Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Good friend, listener of the show, Jose, wrote in. He's like, oh, awesome. I saw DC talk in concert a few years ago, and they're fantastic. And I had to break the news to them. I'm terribly sorry, but no, DC Talk for us is a very different thing than
yeah.
So, but that was some DC Talk I let off with. I'm actually just to make it up to Jose. I'm gonna play some DC Talk at the end of the show here. We'll do a little DC Talk for the podcast only.
Okay. You don't need to preview it for.
I did. But
to
you know,
podcast only.
You know what? It's not a podcast only. We're going to play it live on air. It's good stuff. I have no worries about DC Talk. DC Talk actually is a, he's a rapper. It's heavy metal stuff. But it's Christian. Christian music, Christian radio stuff.
Ah.
So, many people may not be familiar with it, but it's interesting.
What was that? There was one MC called 600 Foot Jesus. What was that? I can't remember. That was a while back.
Yeah. But he got his name, though. His name was based upon a comment that
Oral Roberts
made that he was driving around.
Yeah, Jesus came to him and he was 600 feet taller.
Yeah. He saw him in when he was on one of his road trips on a travel or something.
Heavy prayer or amphetamines or something. I thought that would be great. I mean, in terms of
having a giant Jesus,
yeah, 600 foot Jesus,
cool.
Rapping Jesus, especially. But that would I would imagine that would remove take care of a lot of the doubters. 600 foot Jesus
in a Godzilla versus Mothra kind of way.
But 600 foot's even bigger than Godzilla.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But can you imagine? You know, there'd still be detractors. Oh, he's only 600 foot tall. Why wasn't he 1,000 feet?
Exactly.
Anyway, so Jay Garman, do we have any other guests on today?
No.
Goes to show you.
That's all we need.
Sorry, I missed rehearsal again.
Yeah, rehearsal was, oh man, it was a good one too. They we worked out all good, the kinks. That's good. Why it's so smooth.
The spread was nice
easy right now.
The spread was nice at the rehearsal.
Absolutely.
Good treats.
I had a little frosted mini wheats and some 1% there this morning.
Ooh,
so that was a good rehearsal.
It was lactose free for me. So what's in the news?
Oh my gosh, there's a ton of stuff in the news, actually.
In the technology news.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. Everyone's talking about 9/11, and rightfully so. It's it's a sad time in our nation's history.
Yeah.
But you know, as you mentioned, you know, with the idea is the 600 feet, Jesus just isn't big enough. Even though you've got this terrible, horrible, tragic thing that's happened, of course, you've got individuals who are out there goofing on it. I don't know what other way to put it. Supposedly, this is another attack from the group Anonymous, who hacked into the NBC News Twitter feed and started broadcasting on Friday a bunch of false Twitter reports about terrorist attacks.
Right. You have to wonder what the motivation is there and if any good comes of that at all.
Yeah, you know, I'm really not sure. It's just an odd thing. I mean, there's
wait a second. There's black hat hackers and white hat hackers. And then there's this.
Which is the script kiddies, is all it is.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's not tick off Anonymous. Please. My home security could use an upgrade, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
They called themselves script kiddies, though, so yeah. It's not terribly out of line. They said script kiddies tick over NBC News.
Yeah, so. This has been going on for a long time. This sort of thing has been going on for a long time. Security needs to. We need to get better at it. Mm-hmm. It's a constant arms race, but we need to get better at security.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And you know, stuff like this, the Twitter account attacks. A lot of this stuff is either. It's just guessing a lot of it. They're not, you know, the people are setting up their passwords too simply and too easy to break through. I do not believe necessarily that the script kiddies actually were able to break down Twitter's security features. You know, it was probably just some social
engineering yeah.
that did it.
Well,
so.
You know, in this day and age, I mean, I could see maybe years ago, but is this their only path to self-esteem? I mean, you know, nowadays, you know, look at all the outlets there are. It's like, you know, you could, internet, radio is inexpensive or free. You know, there's Twitter, Facebook, Flickr. There's all these different ways to express yourself and develop communication skills and make a name for yourself. This is the path.
This is the choice you make. Yeah.
I don't know. It's
yeah.
not good.
Yeah. No. I can't pretend to understand. That is truth. But it brings back the old saw though. You know, don't believe everything you read, even if it's on the internet.
even if it's in an email from your friend.
Even if it's an email.
Click on this
from your friend. Yeah, and that's been going around on Facebook again now. In fact, there was a recent report by I want to say. It was McAfee. It could have been. Actually, you know what? It might have been Symantec. Came out with a recent report saying that fully 25% of the video links that you see on Facebook are actually hacks. That they're actually scams or spams.
Spoofs
people are unintentionally or inadvertently sending out because their account has been compromised and will take you to places that will automatically do. They have this thing called the like hacking and things like this.
Yeah,
all that.
That's a high percentage, 25%.
It's
but some of it's like very obvious. I mean, I you know, so and so. You know, I mean, I know there's these online games and all that, but you know, they send, you know, just click here for so and so needs a heart or you know, or a gingerbread pudding recipe or whatever the heck, you know, you're like, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah, you get the ones that clearly the context and the grammar and all the other stuff is not something that this friend of yours would have actually
exactly,
written.
Yeah. Yeah, they usually have a better command of English. But I actually, just yesterday, a friend sent a link in Facebook and it was like, oh, get a free laptop from Dell. And I was like, oh, and I actually clicked on it.
Yeah.
And thank goodness my security was like, no.
Not going to go there.
No. You don't want to see what's here. No.
Yeah. And, you know, and it brings up an interesting point, too, is, you know, there are some basic levels of security that, of course, Facebook has and that Twitter has and the sites that you go to have. But you should be taking steps yourself as well. We've talked a lot about antivirus and things, but something that's been coming up a lot in my conversations with people is using a DNS service that is also protecting you. And I use OpenDNS.
OpenDNS
at home. Yeah, we had David Ulovich, who's the founder of OpenDNS, on the show a while ago. And I still stand by the service. Yeah, he was a great interview. If you can find it in the archives way back there, really fun conversation with him. But it also too, constantly I'm reminded, you know, you can go in there. They keep improving the service, not just from the back end where the security is tight and you can lock down the different things that you don't want to be exposed to, but also too now it gives you the metrics online too, so you can look back and say, where did I get blocked from, and get an idea of all the many places that OpenDNS is actually helping you. Now Google's also got a DNS service.
And what too. And maybe more deeply explain, DNS of course is a dynamic name service, and typically it's something that's provided by your ISP. They have a, you know, what domain names are actually assigned to IP addresses, and domain name servers resolve that difference. You type in a domain name and then they send you the correct IP address.
Yep.
Well, and what OpenDNS does is it gives you more control and protection over where you're sent, as opposed to using your internet service provider's DNS.
Computer. It's similar. If you think of DNS as being like a phone book, and maybe it's like the yellow pages for you, and you go in and you know, you're given typically the phone book from you know, from your phone company, and it's huge. And so, you know, your kids are looking for something and they flip through and they can get any type of company name. But if you put and you make your own phone book, which is what DNS kind of does, is they can say, look, you know, you can choose to say, I don't want anybody in my house ever to look in the phone book for
Trixie's tricks. You know, Trixie's tricks is not in the phone, you know. It's automatically deleted from your phone book.
And beyond that, the companies and organizations that wouldn't fit into some of those categories because they're not real at all, or they're just hackers or scammers, those also get blocked out dynamically by companies like OpenDNS. So I highly recommend, go to opendns.com.
It's more protection
and take a look at it. It's free service.
I'm sorry, I stepped on it. OpenDNS.com?
And Google. Google also has their own DNS service. I can't vouch for that one. I haven't used it personally, but I've heard good things about it, and I'm sure it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too. I bring it up also because they've both recently improved some of the speed services on the back end. One of the complaints about using one of these third-party DNS services is that, and the reason the ISP would try to convince you not to, is that there is a lack of speed because of the fact that it has to go through an additional hop in order to get the name resolution and then brought back to you and all this. And both OpenDNS and Google DNS have just recently, in the last month here, opened up some new technologies which cache a lot of this information more locally to you and make it much, much speedier to resolve those names. So a lot of that worry about the speed is gone. And you should take another look at it if you haven't for a while, and that was the reason why you should take a look at it again, I think.
And who can't use a little extra cash?
Well, exactly. We all need a little cash, or as one of my good friends, you would cache.
Cache.
I've heard it referred to as cache. I think it is correctly pronounced cash, however.
Email us at techtalk@wrlr.fm with your preferred pronunciation of cash.
Yeah, now speaking of Google, I was going to bring up one other big news about Google, too. Google just bought Zagat's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think this could be a potentially great synergy there of two big name companies.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think the coolest thing, I mean, this is the neat thing about them buying Zagat's or Zagat's. I don't know how you pronounce it. But
it's pronounced cash.
Cash. It's cash. Google's buying some cash, man. They bought Zagat's with some cash. They spent a little enough that the FTC didn't get involved, so that's not too bad. That means it had to be under... What does the FTC set it at? 65 million? 80 million? Something like that?
I don't know. I don't really see that it's a monopoly thing or whatever, trust issue. No.
Well, here's the thing. I think what's going to be interesting with this purchase is you've got a lot of companies like Yelp, and you've got OpenTable and Groupon and all these other people that have reviews online about the restaurants and places that you go to.
Right.
And Google Places does as well. But Google Places, quite famously, has been pretty untrustable, I guess. That's a terrible word.
There's actually a lot of online, not that I've spent that much time, but the few things I have looked at, it's like you say, we were talking not long ago about phony reviews, but they're all over the place. You know, it's hard to kind of get a consensus about how good the restaurant is.
Oh, yeah.
But people's tastes, everybody's tastes are different, I guess, as well.
Well, and Google Places was, because it was fairly open, one thing that people were doing, this is such dirty pool, it makes me laugh, is... If you owned a restaurant and your competitor across the street was getting more business, you could go into Google Places and you could mark them as being permanently closed.
Oh,
and
really?
So they would never show up on any search results when people were looking for.
We need a name. There's got to be a name for that. Or we should make one, like Wiki Assassin or something.
That's a good point. I don't know if there is a good name for that already. There's probably somebody's come up with a good name for it. I'll have to think.
Once again, if anybody knows a good name,
send it to us. Yeah.
TechTalk@WRLR.FM.
Or you can go to www.justin.tv/WRLR, and I don't know if that chat box there works or not. I don't know how this all comes together. I can't see any chats on there.
We should pay more attention. Somebody told me last week, somebody that was watching us online said that we had five people watching on Justin last week, and it's been as high as 80 or more. Or
yes.
But last week it was five.
Yeah, I think that it's. I think that there have been some more technical issues with that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, either that or.
Yeah, or people, we were not doing our job here. And let me finish up the spot on Zagat.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I wanted to finish this up. Yeah. The idea that I had with this is that one of the things, one of the powerful things about Zagat is that it's a much more regimented and defined methodology that they use for getting reviews. They have an editorial staff who actually reviews the reviews. So they're much less likely to be gamed. They also have a more specific reviewing system. They don't have a 5-star. They actually have a 30-star. Review system.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah, so it's very, very specific. And I think that if you combine that sort of authentic information.
Credibility.
There's the word.
Street cred.
That's the word I'm looking for. The credibility of a
chops. Zagat's. Chops for your chops.
They got the chops there. You bring that together with Google's search and combine that, and now you've got, again, you're getting closer to that one-stop shop of, I don't need to go to Foursquare and Yelp and Facebook Places and Google Places and whatever they call all the business. You know what? I mean, I'm just going to bring up Google Maps, and bang, it's going to give me those reviews right there, and they're going to be credible, and they're going to be useful to me as well.
Yeah, but what about Google's business model, which is... He who forks over the dough gets the higher placement in the search.
Well, now
how does that affect Zagat's credibility?
Here's where I see that going, though. I don't think that they need to do that too much, although. What do you mean need to do that?
Well, they're not going to take advertising from a given restaurant?
You're right. They would, but I think what they'll finally wind up doing is doing more. You're right. But if you're searching for if you're searching for Greek restaurants, why wouldn't they? You've got a couple that have pretty similar ratings. Why wouldn't they promote the one that's paying them?
Or let's say they have incredibly dissimilar ratings. Why wouldn't that they you pay for ranking, right?
Yeah,
you
could, yeah, yeah.
They'll rank you high if you've got the dough. It doesn't matter what. I mean, it's just in terms of search. I'm not saying that they're going to, you know, give you.
But Google wouldn't do that.
Wouldn't do what? Google wouldn't do what?
But that would take away their whole. But they do no evil. They're
They do evil now. They do even the first page is paid. You know, is paid advertising. You know,
you
got to scroll down a bit to find
the
real stuff.
It's true. I don't know. That's a good question. And there's some talk about the idea of autonomous search too, which would pull that into question as well. An autonomous search would be some kind of a localized situation. You know, you're walking around with your phone. Google knows your location. They know the time of day.
Yeah.
They know, based on your previous reviews, the kind of things that you like already. So, you know, it's 12:30 and you're still in the middle of the street or wandering around. Well, all of a sudden your phone goes bing, bing, bing. Google's got a recommendation for you from Zagat.
Take a right down this half a block. There's a good falafel stand.
Yeah. Exactly. Which, I mean, honestly, me, I think that's cool. Now, I know you have.
Oh, no, I love that idea. No. I love that idea, too. I think there ought to be a mechanical finger in your phone that comes out and taps you on the shoulder and points. But I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, this is still big commerce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You have to wonder about. Could they really afford to point you to a crummy restaurant?
Yeah.
You know, because that, you know, it happens two or three times, you're not going to use the service
anymore.
That's
exactly it. You'll switch over then to using a Yelp or something because it won't be credible anymore.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, maybe what you'll wind up with too, you know, if you do have this pay-to-play sort of mentality, you'll wind up with a kind of an underground set of restaurants that refuse to be listed. And
oh, cool, yeah.
That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, the empty ones? Yeah.
The ones marked permanently closed on Google. I
still don't know. Are you going to call Jay?
I am.
Oh,
I
good.
Am.
That's a good idea. Well, I still don't know. You know, there's the old axiom. You know, if you go into a restaurant and it's empty, leave. You know, because it's probably the food's probably not very good.
Not very good.
But that's I haven't found that to be true at all. I've just because a place is well populated doesn't mean that it's not good.
The alternative is not true. Yeah, that's I think that's part of the conundrum right there. Is that
if you walk into a restaurant, people are leaving and they're green. That's probably not a good. Not a good sign.
Yes. I've also found too that going to ethnic restaurants.
Hello.
Oh, he is there. He's alive. He made it back. Actually, we know that you made it back because I've been reading your updates anyways on jgarman.net about your recent adventures in Dragonland, DragonCon. but I'm happy to see that you're back on a regular sleep schedule. It sounds like.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Dave. Yeah, I'm slowly crawling back to the land of normal humanity, or as close as I ever get to it anyway.
man, I was so excited to see the updates. There was no pictures yet, though, at least not that I've been privy to.
I did not take my main camera because my wife was going on her own way, and she took our camera, so my only available camera was my Droid phone, and I did not realize this until I went to Dragon Con, but when you have a whole lot of people trying to use the same network all at once, your phone dies fast. That's my pro tip for anybody that's going to Dragon Con, is you can't do without your phone, because there's a Dragon Con smartphone app for Android and iPhone that makes the convention basically accessible to anyone who isn't a complete veteran.
Mm-hmm.
But bring your phone charger with you, and every chance you get to get to that sidewall in the room where the panel is, and you can charge your phone, do that. every chance you get.
That's a good point that I actually have not seen mentioned much in any kind of media or how-tos or whatever. That any time your phone is struggling to find a network or struggling to hang on to a network, it really eats up battery power a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so 40,000 people in a five square block radius, all with smartphones, it it was you could almost watch the battery just decline.
Yeah. And I imagine that the Marriott Wi-Fi probably wasn't all that helpful either with that many people in attendance. Oh man, and I saw the report of, you know, you made it in and it sounded like it was just absolutely insanely packed. You've been to Comic-Con, and sheer number of people is far surpassed at Comic-Con, but it sounded like the Dragon Con experience was, if anything, more compressed or something.
Yes and no. I was at Comic-Con in 2002, so it's been almost a decade, when it only had 70,000 people as opposed to the 40,000 in Dragon Con. The difference at Comic-Con is it's all one building, and it's just sort of everyone arrives there at 10 a.m. and then everyone leaves, and everyone leaves in multiple directions, and everyone enters in multiple directions. So it's, when you're in the building, it's a little cramped, but you know, it's a convention center. It's designed to get people all around. The issue with Dragon Con is it's 40,000 people in five hotels, and the hotels are all interconnected, and they're not really designed. Like, the skyways between the Hilton and the Marriott and the Hyatt in particular are not designed for 40,000 people going back and forth incessantly for, you know, 4 days straight. And Dragon Con is like the city that never sleeps. It doesn't stop. I mean, even though the programming ends at about, you know, I think the latest I was out for a panel was when we watched the reboot of Star Trek with a bunch of fans and did live commentary on it. That ended at about 1:30 in the morning. And you would not know that the programming was done when you got back to the lobby of the Marriott. I mean, it was still just filled to the brim with people. There were still lines for the elevators. There were still concerts and parties going on all over the place. So, you know, it just doesn't really stop for 4 days, which is amazing and interesting, but I don't care how good or how big your hotel is, it's not set up for that many people coming and going all the time.
Yeah, and I can't imagine too many hotels that are really, you know, I've been to some of the bigger tech conferences, Oracle World, out in San Francisco at the Marconi. I can't remember the name of the place, Moscone. That's the Moscone Center. And that works out pretty well, but that's a huge amount of area to spread all those people out in. And then you combine all that, just the mass of people there at Dragon Con, and then you combine that with the, and I've learned a new word. I learned a new word from Jay too. I have to say,
you're so excited.
And so many people are involved in cosplay that it's got to be a very surreal experience looking out upon the masses. And cosplay, I'll let Jay explain the meaning of the word. This was a new word to me, and it's perfect. I love it. But so describe looking out on the masses of people and what that must have been like after that first day.
I thought I was on the set of a movie where everyone was supposed to be a character. It was the greatest crossover movie of all time. Cosplay or cosplay, and I've never gotten a clear answer. There's like a debate about how the best way to pronounce that. Is where people dress up in costume as characters from some other media, or interpretations of characters from some other media. And so, you know, people dressing up as Star Trek characters or Star Wars characters or comic book characters. And at Dragon Con, there's sort of this unofficial competition to either reinterpret a character. For example, in the Dragon Con parade, and yes, they have so many cosplayers, there's an entire parade. They block off several city streets and have a two-hour parade of them. The best ones I saw were the steampunk X-Men. X-Men is if they existed in the Jules Verne era, somebody actually built a steam-powered wheelchair for their Professor X character. It actually ran on compressed steam. It was unreal. you know, they went the whole nine yards on that. So, but you know, when you go to the lobby, the level of costumes there, when I went through a Wheaton's panel, he said, and I agree with him because I saw the same guy, he saw a guy in an Iron Man costume that looked better than the CGI effects in the actual movie. I mean, he was 6'6" in full armor with the glowing eyes and was completely ambulatory and was taking pictures, and it was unreal. There was a guy in the full new Transformers Bumblebee outfit that I wasn't entirely certain there was a person inside. It was so well done. It must have been a $20,000 costume at least.
Wow.
And the guy that won the superhero version of the Masquerade, which I didn't go to, but I saw it. Dragon Con, by the way, if you don't know this, has its own TV channel during the course of the convention. So if you can't get to some of the big media panels, they broadcast them live over their own closed circuit channel available in all the hotels. And so I caught part of the Masquerade when I was in taking a snack in the hotel room. And the guy who won the superhero portion did medieval Batman. He made a full handmade chainmail and steel armor as if Batman was a 12th century knight, complete with a hand-forged steel Batman claymore. I can't imagine what that cost or how long it took to make. And it was staggering in how amazing it looked.
That sounds like a great prop for a plot. You know, like time travel, Batman time travels. That sounds great.
It's kind of like
I want to see that movie,
Evil Dead 3, but with superheroes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And this is just what's going on, like between the panels. This is just walking from event to event. This is what you're walking through. There's a mall called the Peachtree Center Mall, which has a train station, and it connects to two of the hotels, and is across the street from another one of them, and it has a food court. And I almost felt sorry for the poor regular people trying to take their weekday lunch at the food court in the mall during Dragon Con. Because not only do we completely overrun the place, but you can just tell the people are just not quite prepared for running into, you know, the guy in full Mirror Universe Captain Kirk regalia ordering the chicken strip basket from Dairy Queen. They're just not mentally equipped for that experience.
Yeah, scaring the norms, you know, that's always fun on an afternoon in Atlanta.
Sounds like a geek orgy.
I call it geek Mardi Gras, I think is the best description of it. It is truly geek Mardi Gras.
Man.
Sounds better than Mardi Gras in some respects.
Yeah, that sounds...
Well, there's about as much drinking. For, you know, having been exposed to both, I have not seen
that can't
any
be.
Relative difference in alcohol consumption between the two of them.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, some of the stories you were telling. A good tip, too, by the way, of, don't try to get all of your alcohol into the hotel at once. The police will stop you. And,
yes. And, of course, I turn into the chaperone because I'm a teetotaler. I don't drink at all. So I'm like, I'll be the guy that makes sure that you wake up in your own hotel room. That's my service to you.
Oh, man. I played that. I'm not a teetotaler myself, but I played that role before, too. And at least it was just about getting people back to their room. I've had to do the, I'll make sure that you don't get in any fights that you can't win, and you know, which would be all of them.
Yeah. And,
I've got friends like that. So,
well, see, here's the fundamental difference is I've been going to major sporting events since I was 9 years old. Everyone warned me about the crowds before I went, and I was not really that fazed because, again, I've been, you know, I've gone to stadiums where, 20, 30, 50, 80,000 people are all going to leave at the same time and all try and use the same four roads. So if you've been through that a lot, you know, Dragon Con's like, it's a crowd, whatever. But when you go to sporting events and there's a lot of drinking going on, during the transfer of people, there's always some belligerence. You know, it's rare that I've gone to a major sporting event and I haven't at least heard about a fight somewhere.
Yeah.
I saw none of that at Dragon Con. And that surprised me. Like, we've got guys that are actually armed. They actually have weapons. One of the events in the Hyatt was professional armorers brought in, like legitimate recreations of Japanese katanas and assault rifles. I'm like, there's weaponry at Dragon Con, and there's a lot of drinking at Dragon Con, and there are a lot of socially ill-equipped people at Dragon Con, and there was no issue with anyone anywhere. I was legitimately surprised at how well-behaved all of the geeks were.
That is really
all there to have a good time, and they all stuck with that.
That is pretty darn impressive. I mean, you know, because you can envision so many situations where people would be, you know, irritated, and it's hot, and it's the sun's beating down on you. You're wearing probably an extra 40-50 pounds of costume than you're used to, and not in that great of shape maybe anyways. And here comes somebody stepping on your toes or doing whatever. You know, there's got to be so many situations where, you know, reining that in and reminding yourself that it is just about having a good time and enjoying something that everyone else is enjoying, and keeping that a good head on your shoulders is got to be tough. But it sounds like that's part of the deal, part of the tradition with Dragon Con. So, you know, cool stuff. No one attacked anyone else with a pencil like they did at was it Comic Con where the somebody got hit in the neck with the mechanical pencil.
Yeah, that happened. And I think the difference with Dragon Con, and I only heard this secondhand, is the other thing that always happens, and this is a volatile social mix, is that, you know, Labor Day weekend, there's always a major college football game at the Georgia Dome, which is very nearby. And in previous years, people going to those games have stayed at some of the same hotels and come in and sort of made trouble with the geeks. Like, you put traditional Southern college football fan with dude in the Captain Kirk outfit and add alcohol, that doesn't tend to go very well. So I think what has come of Dragon Con is this notion of, if you're a geek, we're all in this together. So no matter what, we're with you. And I think if anything was ever going to happen, it would have been, because the Hard Rock Cafe is right around there, and there are a lot of, Harris Boulevard and Peachtree Center restaurants. You know, if somebody started something with a geek, I would feel very bad for the person who started something with a geek, because there are 40,000 people who got his back right there. It's like, oh, I have no idea who that dude is, but he is wearing a Han Shot First t-shirt. He's one of us, and you're starting something with him. And, you know, a whole section of the restaurant would stand up and they're cosplay up. It's like, you want to take it? Let's go.
Exactly. And then the best thing about that would be, it would not only be caught on people's cell phones, it'd be on YouTube almost instantly, and then that guy would have to put up with years of abuse at the hands of his friends as they watched over and over the scenes of him getting beaten up by Wonder Woman and and Batman in medieval drag and and a guy in a steampunk wheelchair. Rolling over his head.
Well, and here's the other thing that no one ever thinks about, especially when it comes to gamers. There are a whole lot of ex-military. It is surprising that how many ex-military, especially as a guy that runs a local convention and is very involved in the game programming with that local convention, there are a whole lot of ex-military that are very into the role-playing game or video game set, you know, which makes a certain amount of psychological sense. You know, you're an idealist, you join the military because you want to help and serve the world, and then when you come home, you want to play games where you're the knight in shining armor or the superhero. Like, that makes sense to me. And so you don't know who in that Superman outfit is an ex-military police officer, and you don't want to know. You don't want to find out the wrong way.
And if there's a guy 6'6" who can move around that much equipment, you know, to get the Iron Man look down right, I probably don't want to mess with him with or without the Iron Man gear slowing him down.
Very, very true.
Man, well, it sounds like a blast. Your wife is a wonderfully tolerant and supportive woman. And you've definitely with number two on the way here, you're going to have definitely paid your dues here. But it sounds like it was worth every moment of it for sure. I know I've been telling people you've been putting up notes on jgarman.net. You've got another one coming, I think, fairly soon, that'll give a little more detail to the festivities. I can't wait to read that and hear about some of the sessions that you went with. You name dropped one of my personal favorites, Will Wheaton, of course, but I know there was a ton of other just great stuff going on there.
No, absolutely. I'm probably going to do a separate post for each day of the convention. The one that's up right now was just everything that happened on the day I got there before the convention started, and that alone was a whole wild experience, just gearing up for the convention. You know, the joke there is that Thursday is the new Friday because the convention doesn't start till Friday. But everyone gets there on Thursday just to get ready. So if you want to get there before everything actually starts, you have to get there Wednesday now. Like, that's how much it's just expanded. That the build up and the letdown are events unto themselves.
Man, oh man, that is just so cool. I totally have geek envy. I so much wish I could have headed down there and met up with you. That would have been something else. Very, very cool stuff. Well, Jay, we'll definitely keep an eye on jaygarman.net and see what's happening there. But we've got some business to attend to here too. We've got an outstanding question about hurricanes, which is still relevant as it was last
week. 'Tis the season.
Yeah, we're hitting into some more. But the question we had was, what year saw the most hurricane names retired? Because when a hurricane is above, why do they get retired again? They get retired because they're a certain damage amount or just a certain size or
notoriety. There's no hard and fast rules about what makes it. But basically, if a storm is big enough and violent enough and does enough damage that it sort of becomes a cultural artifact, like people remember it because it did some damage to people somewhere, you know, like Hurricane Andrew in 1992, like people still talk about that. So you obviously could not name another Hurricane Andrew because, you know, it's just sort of known by the one named Andrew that made landfall. And so sort of a gauge of a season, an unofficial gauge, because a lot of hurricanes happen and a lot of things go on that makes a season memorable, a season notorious, is by how many storms get retired. And by every account, the worst hurricane season in history is the 2005 hurricane season, which saw Hurricane Katrina, who was one of only five storm names that got retired that year.
Wow.
Which is the most in history. And that year, Dennis, Katrina, Rita, Stan, and Wilma were retired. That's five storms. It's also the season that had the most Category 5s in history, with four. It's also the one that had the absolute most named storms, period. They had 28 named storms. They ran out of names and had to go to Greek letters towards the end of the season. They went through six Greek letters because they had so many named storms that they ran out of names. This is the season that beyond Katrina, Hurricane Wilma was the most intense hurricane of all time. It had the lowest barometric pressure of any hurricane ever recorded. I mean, that's how bad 2005 was, is that Katrina was not the worst storm. It did the most damage. It had the most deaths. But it wasn't even the worst storm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad 2005 was. It did $159 billion in damage all told that season and killed 3,900 people.
Wow.
All told that season. In fact, it was so bad a season that the hurricanes kept going after the official season ended because some of the storms weren't done petering out. I mean, it goes down in the record book as the worst.
Wow. Hey, you know, I got a dumb question. You mentioned that the names ran out. How come we never hear about like a Hurricane Prasad or you know, a Hurricane Liu Kang, you know, or something a little It seems to be very Eastern European
or Kal-El or something.
Yeah, or even a Hurricane Kevin. I mean, how'd you like to be hit by a Hurricane Kevin? You know, but if it does seem to be more, you know, very Eastern European, no diving into
or Shaniqua or Shaniqua,
yeah,
or
you know, no Shaniqua.
Beyonce,
Hurricane Beyonce. Now that would be cool. Pulling hurricane names from pop culture icons, I would love
it. Prince, Hurricane Prince,
Hurricane Prince, yeah. Hurricane Vanilla Ice. I'd like that.
Well, see, now I'm actually waiting for the day it gets crazy enough that they start sponsoring hurricane names.
Oh, well, yeah, naming rights.
It's like Hurricane Transformers 4.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, actually, I kind of like that idea. Why are there for want of a better word, no ethnic naming to other than the Eastern European sort of name convention?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know this. It's been intimated, though, that they try and pick names no one will go on record from this one, because I have actually looked into this. They try and pick names that are as common as possible so that no one feels unduly singled out. Like, if there's a Hurricane David, you know, there's probably 2 million Davids in North America. So no one is going to feel like they're, you know, like, oh, Hurricane David, you know, they named it after you. No one's going to think that. If there's a Hurricane Vladimir, you know, the 200 Vladimirs in the United States are all going to get crap about the fact that it was their hurricane, you know?
Yeah. I suppose that's true. That's true. Yeah, I may have to do a quick look up online, see if there is any specific reasoning for it. That makes a lot of sense to me, though. Dave's looking at the clock.
The clock is ticking.
So what should we,
it's ticking.
What should we be thinking about for our next week's trivia. Oh, and I should mention, by the way, that, of course, our good friend Customer Jones did send me the answer to that question as well. What can Customer Jones concentrate on this coming week?
Well, 3 years ago today, the Large Hadron Collider went through its first power-up exercises. So basically it came online 3 years ago today. So we're going to do an LHC question. And the question is, setting aside you know, any of the malfunctions that it has had, you know, with its electromagnets before. Every winter, the LHC is forced to shut down for reasons that have nothing to do with its own mechanical adequacy or proper function. So why? For what unlikely or generally unthought of reason does the LHC have to shut down every winter?
Huh. Just in the wintertime. Just in the wintertime.
It's a good question.
That is a good question.
As they always are.
I don't know. They run out of money to pay the heating bill. That's what I they spent it all on electricity to keep those atoms rolling around in circles. No, that's a great question. It's the Large Hadron Collider, which has got a great history of itself as well, too. So, well, Jay, I'm gonna close this up here. Again, I'll mention, I know I've mentioned it a dozen times here on the show, but people definitely need to go there to jgarman.net, take a look at DC and what happened, D*C, and look and see what happened there. And we'll be waiting anxiously for the next post about your first actual day at the convention.
Absolutely. It'll probably go up sometime this afternoon, I would guess.
Cool. Awesome. Well, have a great time getting back into the swing of things at home, and we'll keep our eyes open for it.
All right. Have a good weekend, fellas.
You too, Jay.
Thanks, Jay. Take care. Bye.
Loved hearing all that. Loved hearing the recount of the Dragon Con. Sounds like it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
A wonderful time.
Yeah. It would just be awesome. Like I said, I had total envy of that.
Have you noticed, yeah, he didn't come out right out and say it, but it sounds like a bit of a crush when you're, you know, 40,000 people in somewhat limited space.
Yes, yeah, I think I think there's a little bit of that, but you know, it sounds like it's worth it though too. And you're among friends, and
sounds like a lifetime memory. Actually, I mean, so much of that stuff was just gripping imagery that Jay was relating.
Yeah, he's in his post. He's got a teaser for the next post talking about how he laughed harder than he ever had in his life. So,
that's good.
I got to do a couple of quick spots, and we'll be right back in just a minute, and we'll come back with hopefully at least one cool side of the week, and then of course the podcast only song of the week. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening to Tech Talk. We'll be right back at you.
See you in a minute.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
The Round Lake Area Public Library is a proud sponsor of WRLR. The library provides current information, formal education support, independent learning opportunities, and life enrichment materials to a highly diverse public by a trained team of individuals who will nurture a love for reading and learning. The Round Lake Area Public Library is located at 906 Hart Road in Round Lake and is open Monday through Sunday. The phone number is 847-546-7060. The website is rlalibrary.org. Se habla español.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. Dream a system and All Custom Electronics Incorporated can put it together. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. Also, multi-room audio, video, and low-voltage systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR and assisted with the design and building of WRLR studios. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
The Antioch Fine Arts Foundation, in celebration of its 10th year anniversary, is sponsoring its annual wine tasting and silent art auction starting at 5 p.m. on Friday, September 23rd at the Comfort Inn and Suites located at 350 West Route 173 in Antioch, Illinois. The Antioch Fine Arts Foundation, a not-for-profit art gallery, cordially invites the people of our community to attend this important fundraising event. Items exhibited for auction will include stained glass, paintings, photography, sculptures, and jewelry. For further information on the annual wine tasting and silent art auction, or on becoming a member of the Antioch Fine Arts Foundation, their website is antiochfinearts.org, or the Antioch Fine Arts Foundation coordinator, Roger Schull, can be reached at 847-354-1292. Art, wine, auction, and new friends, all taking place on September 23rd at the Comfort Inn and Suites on Route 173, just west of Route 83 in Antioch.
Hi, I'm Anthony Lucero, inviting you to join me this weekend from the Vault. Each week, we play the music of a different theme, and this week, we'll be playing...
Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Number one hits. Join me Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 right here on 98.3 FM WRLR.
Oh, man, I was loving that. What is that?
That is DC Talk. That's his song, Fearless.
Nice riff.
Yeah, I like that.
Waka waka waka. Nice effects on the, you know, on the guitar. Yeah.
I've listened to a little bit of his stuff off and on here. He's got some good stuff. Like I said, I'm gonna play a little bit of him for our podcast only song of the week.
Yeah.
But before we get
talk
to,
fast if you want
to
do that.
Before we get to that, I got some cool sights of the week coming
cool
up here.
Cool sights of the week.
Always good stuff.
It can't be time for cool sights of the week. I don't hear any music.
Well, of course it's time for cool sights of the week. Of course it is.
Oh, sit back, relax, and listen to the cool sights of the week.
Now we
find out all the nice places to go on the internet.
Really good stuff here. Yeah, you don't need to go anywhere else. Just right here on Tech Talk. But if you start here, I can tell you some really cool things to do. Now, first thing I want to tell you about is you may know if you listen to this show, if you pay attention, that my day gig got dropped a while ago, and so I was I was looking for a position.
Oh yeah, okay.
No, you
weren't desperate at all.
No. I had some stuff going on, but. But at any rate, so I finally did find a position. I've got a job and all that good stuff. But if you're one of those...
Yeah, but did you get a job? Yeah, I don't
know. I did get a job, yeah. So, but if you're one of those people that is looking for a position right now and having a tough time with it one way or the other, or just contemplating or thinking about starting... This, I wish I had run into this when I was looking. This would have saved me a lot of these kind of uncomfortable conversations on the phone where someone calls you and you think, is this somebody I applied to, or are they some random...
Or is this a scammer?
Or what's going on? Here is a website that will help you manage all this stuff. It's called Track Job. It's called ApplyMate. And what it allows you to do is track all of your job applications and your job searches that you've done. So as you go online to Monster, Dice, as you go to the websites themselves or contact people and call them, rather than trying to keep this information in your head, you can just enter it very quickly and simply into ApplyMate. And they've just got some really neat stuff that goes on. It's not only that, but you can also use it too. I'm focusing on the job hunt, but really you can use it for school applications too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice, clean interface. It's obviously free. You can do a whole bunch of stuff with it, and just makes it so easy to keep things in line. You can also, too, do things like set up reminders. reminders to say, oh, I got to follow up with these guys in 2 weeks, you know, because
right.
I'm going to make sure that they got my resume and things like that. Really neat stuff. So it's applymate.com. I just think it's a neat service, really good stuff, whether you're looking for a job or looking to apply to a school, especially, I mean, if you're, you know, these high school kids now, the seniors, they're looking right now for colleges. They've got to
sure.
get those applications out.
Definitely.
This is a good
yeah.
time for it. Another thing that's cool. Now, Jay was just talking about his trip down to Georgia, Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and all this. Well, maybe you don't want to do the hotel thing when you take a trip. Maybe you've got more people, so it makes it tough to kind of bring everybody together.
Multiple hotel rooms can be costly.
Very, very costly.
If you have a group.
Very costly, and it's not as much fun as being someplace real. And Room-O-Rama, and that's Room-O-Rama with an O, in there will help you find a little bit different type of accommodations, hotels. They'll help you find studio apartments, houses for rent, things like this in prime locations across the world, not just America, but across the world. And you can look and specify that, hey, I'm going to have 8 people with me. I need to be able to find a place like a house on the coast that I'm going to be able to put everybody up in. And the rates are pretty darn reasonable. Now, you can not only can you find properties and find places to stay that are furnished and so on like this, but you can also, if you've got a property of your own that you're trying to deal with, you can put it up there and list it, and people can rent it as though it were somewhat of a hotel type
cool.
of location. I have not tried it myself personally, but it looks like a really neat stuff, a really neat thing. Roomorama.com. And on that one, I'm going to leave it at that. I think we're right on the edge of the amount of time that I've got available to me here, and we'll do that. I'm going to leave us with we had that confusion earlier I talked about with DC Talk, and it's not DC Talk, the music artist. It's Dragon Con that we were talking about, but DC Talk from his album 8 Great Hits, Jesus Is Just All Right.
Oh, right. I love to hear this.
It's awesome. I was listening to it for the first time this morning. It's just great. It's like reminds you of the original, but it does it a little bit better.
The original doesn't hold up that well, so it would be nice to have a fresh update.
Yeah, and I think you'll like this.
Cool.
One. So we'll throw that on. We'll leave you for the week. Thanks for listening to Tech Talk. Go check us out, techtalk.wrlr.fm, and if you want to hear more about DragonCon, go to jgarman.net. Thanks for listening.
That sounds like a good idea. See you next week.
DC track is jacked beyond comprehension. I believe that I failed to mention that there's a lack of recognition when it comes to his position. Cause if Fez can't be crossed over, then I'll keep my feet up Nova. In place, and I'm all up in your face with a rhyme that I embrace like a mother to her child. I'm kicking it Jesus style to the ones that think they heard. I did use the J word, cause I ain't too soft to say it, even if DJs don't play it.
back.
To the O, to the D, never done with the flow. And the no on the go like a pro, not for show. Cause I ain't in the biz for the dough, or the me, or the ray. All the dough's gotta stay, cause I can't, no, I can't take it home anyway. Never trade when I write, cause the Lord is my light, and his word is my bond, so you know, no, he's alright.
Jesus is still alright with me.